episode was recorded on Comox People's unceded territory here on Vancouver Island. You'll be listening on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting through Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish territories. I chatted to Heather and Garrett Quinn, executives of the Vancouver Island Whitewater Paddling Society and dear friends of mine, about what it's like to work in the outdoor education industry, in the guiding industry, and what it's like now to be the authors of a widely used whitewater paddling guidebook on the island. But before we start, I'd like to shout out Frank Mona, a band who's going to be touring for the first time this summer. They've got a gig on the 21st at the Roxy there in Vancouver, opening for Banquet Lights. Don't know much about them, but Frank Mona's sweet, $15 for tickets at the door. And if you want to follow them all the way to Tofino, they've got a gig on the 28th at the Mac. So follow them there if you're interested in surfing. I'll be there. And now let's get into the show.
Today I'm sitting with Garrett and Heather Quinn, not relatives, but could be, maybe in another life. I just finished work yesterday and drove over here from Strathcona Park Lodge, and we're going to chat about these guys and their career in the outdoor education industry. So, do one of you guys want to introduce yourselves first?
Go for it.
Hey everyone, my name is Heather Quinn, and I am a teacher in SD69 on Vancouver Island here in Parksville, and I teach an outdoor ed program called Global Roams, and Roams stands for the Rivers, Oceans, and Mountains School. This program is open to kids in grades 10 to 12 in the district, and offers an introduction to a whole bunch of different types of outdoor sports with a blend of academics, mostly focusing on environmental science and political studies.
Cool. Yeah, because you have your degree in geology.
I do, yes.
Yeah, you as well, Garrett. You have your master's.
That's right. Yeah, we both do.
Cool. So do you blend, because you're the outdoor pursuits teacher now, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. The namesake of this podcast.
Totally, yeah. I'm proud of it. I'm Garrett. I grew up near Baltimore, Maryland, and then I ended up going to school in Ontario and studying geology, and then moving out west to Calgary and worked in the oil industry for a little bit, and then, you know, kind of when that career was wrapping up because there was a downturn, I met Heather, and then ended up moving to Vancouver Island, and we got married. It was almost a year ago. It's almost our 1 year anniversary.
Craziness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met at a kayaking festival on the Kananaskis River.
Yeah.
At the time, Garrett was finishing up his master's in geology, and I was working as a raft guide in Fernie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys obviously are big paddlers, right?
Yeah.
Is that something that bonds you?
Yeah, that's definitely what brought us together, and it's the passion that we share, and I still like to get out as much as we can. Yeah. Kind of had a really dry winter here on the island, so felt kind of hard to get into a rhythm with boating, but we still did some pretty cool stuff. And
cool.
Yeah.
And do you guys incorporate that into your classroom? Do you guys bring kids paddling much?
Yeah, In my program, I take students out for an introduction to kayaking. We start on the lake with a few lake sessions, we do some swift water rescue training.
Nice.
And eventually take them down some whitewater. Kind of one of the biggest events of the year for the outdoor programs is we put on the Cowichan River Youth Kayaking Festival. Mm-hmm. It's run through the Vancouver Island Whitewater Paddling Society.
Of which you two are...
Garrett is president and I'm vice president.
Cool.
Yeah. Dan Norman out of Brentwood puts the event on. Mm-hmm. And... there's regularly 60 students, 60 youth come out to paddle the river and learn about the magic of whitewater.
Yeah, I remember I volunteered 2 years ago for it. Super sweet. Camping out there is so fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of seasoned veterans come out to play, it seems.
Grizzled veterans.
And you guys work at the same school, right?
That's right, yeah.
What's that like?
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first the kids didn't know we were together, which is always kind of hilarious when they found out. But yeah, now that Heather changed her name, it's pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah.
But, although I still get students who are like, are you guys related?
We have very different hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often, Garrett, are you going on trips with the grade nines?
Yeah, so I've got some grade nines, and it's like, it's kind of like the intro program for high schoolers in the district. So it's a little more spread out than Heather's. And we run all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also supposed to teach in math and science at the same time.
Wow.
And so we did like a trip a week. This year we did like two overnights. So yeah, it's kind of, you know, in the good weather season, we maybe go out a couple times a week. But yeah, it's kind of a slower pace for sure.
Right, and do you try to incorporate the math and science on your trips that you go on?
As much as possible, yeah. And that's kind of, it's almost, I'd say, like, the expectation from the district. But it's cool, right? Like, when you can do science labs outside.
Yeah, totally.
Get kids to make connections to the real world, right? It's really powerful learning. So yeah, wherever possible, but I'm still like, how do I incorporate, like, you know, Bohr models and scanning? So sometimes So that is pretty tough. But,
yeah, trace it.
It's only my first year, so.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So how was it doing your practicum in the district with you guys?
Yeah, it was sweet. I mean, we were lucky to both work with Jake and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Shane was your kind of like cousin, really.
Cousin, uncle
cousin by
thing.
Marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he was really like a uncle.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he really thought he was one of his kids almost.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But, yeah, so we both were lucky and got to do a practicum with him. And then also with Jake Friesen, who's another longtime outdoor educator in the district and all-around hero.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that kind of got us set up because not a lot of districts in the public school system have what we have going here. And it's
no
only
doubt.
Because Shane and Jake and, you know, Darren and this other guy, Al Halverson, got back a few years and been kind of building it up for decades. So we're pretty lucky to be where we are.
Yeah, and they're pretty lucky to have you guys.
Aww.
Thanks, Jane.
And would you guys say there's a preset goal for what the kids leave either program with? Or do you guys feel like at the beginning of the year, you're like, this is what I want you guys to be able to do? I want you to be prepared for X job, or I want you to have X skill.
I think there's kind of different expectations for the different programs. Kind of the introductory courses that we both teach is more like, you know, getting kids an introduction to healthy, active lifestyles is, I think, the goal for me anyway. Just introducing them to, good practices and being able to manage risk and have fun and take care of their mental and physical health, and that's the outdoors is just a great way to do that. The ROAMS program beyond ours looks more at certifying students to get ready for the guiding world, outdoor education world, but I think at the end of the day we're just looking to empower kids to get out there and have some fun and stay safe.
And do you guys both take applications for the course, or is it more just anyone?
Yeah, we both take applications because you kind of gotta want to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like for their other classes, they, you know, get put in their core classes like their math and their science, and they get to choose their electives. But both of our programs are called programs of choice. So yeah, they do a little application, and not always like this, but it's this year we both had lots of applicants.
Great.
But there were years in recent memory where even last year, the first year I was running Outdoor Pursuits, like we were kind of in the, you know, fall trying to get a couple last students to sign up. But it seems like the interest is back.
That's great.
Which I think is really great. I mean, part of it's not such a happy story though, because I think part of the interest is just because kids are like, I hate school. I want something different.
Yeah.
Which is always kind of sad, like, you know, that our systems haven't really jived with all those kids. But, you know, it's great to see the interest, and it lets us kind of hopefully select kids who are going to be, appropriate for the programs. And that doesn't always mean like rock stars in the classroom, but just like, have a good, kind of understanding of safety out there.
Yeah.
I think is key.
Totally. Safety is key. Speaking of safety, I know you guys both have guided in the past some pretty gnarly rivers, right? Where have you guided, Heather?
I spent two seasons guiding on the Elk River in Fernie.
Cool.
And then after that, I headed up to the Kicking Horse.
And this is raft Golden. Guiding.
Yeah, for raft guiding. And I spent two seasons guiding on the horse.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then Garrett.
I guided one gnarly river, our friend Eric Shore, who actually teaches an outdoor ed program in Squamish. He'd be a good guy to catch up with too.
I think I met him at your wedding.
He's guided. He guided on the Kicking Horse for years and years, and so he wanted someone to below the rafting section. There's a pretty cool but pretty gnarly section of like class 4 or 5 called the Middle Kicking Horse, mm-hmm. and he wanted someone to paddle with after work, and so I had no guiding experience, but he was like, come on out to the Kicking Horse this summer and it'll be great, we'll paddle every day. And so I did that for 2 years, and it was a steep learning curve, like having never guided mm-hmm. Professionally. I'd done some rowing like in the Grand Canyon, but it was a great experience. Wasn't always easy, but yeah, those are great summers in Golden. I miss it out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what made you guys choose the island in the end?
Got a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were here first, is that right?
I actually was born on the island. I grew up in Victoria. Mm-hmm. And then I moved away to the Okanagan for school. I spent 6 years out there doing my undergrad and my master's. And then I moved into guiding and lived in the Kootenays for a bit, and then came back to the island where my family is to do teacher school, and ended up connecting with this amazing opportunity to teach outdoor ed. And I moved out, and I think Garrett followed me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we ended up here, but also choosing the island too, I think, for the wealth of rivers we mm-hmm. have here.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special place.
No doubt. Have you guys done any first descents on the island or anywhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, done.
I've done one.
Yeah, I've done a small handful. The island's amazing because it's not that big, but every year, people are still out there doing first descents.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're lucky right now to have a really... really like active and motivated crew to go exploring too, like Kobe Trinker mm-hmm. and Kevin Frank and Alex Royer, and those guys are just like super keen to still go paddle new stuff. And
Scott McBride.
Yeah, Scott McBride when he graces us when he graces us with his presence. It's a cool place to be a paddler.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like all the winter rain fed season, so it's kinda like boom or bust.
Totally.
When it's going, when it goes here, it's phenomenal.
And what's your paddling background, Garrett?
Let's see, my dad, I think, kind of had a midlife crisis and decided that he was going to start whitewater paddling when I was a kid. And so it took him a couple years. I was playing a lot of hockey and soccer and lacrosse and other sports, and it took him a couple of years to convince me that it was going to be a worthwhile or fun thing. I was like pretty skeptical in high school, but he ended up getting me on the river, so I kind of learned in Maryland, and we'd go on trips to West Virginia and Pennsylvania, and it was kind of a class like 3 boater by the time I wound up in Calgary. And then once I got to Calgary, the first 2 things I bought was my oil money. I bought a Subaru Outback and a Dagger Agent,
nice.
An old playboat,
yeah.
And that was kind of the rest is history, I guess.
And what are the rivers like out east versus over here?
Oh, in Maryland, there's steep stuff around, but I guess, overall, not as steep or as gnarly. The sections are, more well-known, you can roll up to a river, like say the Upper Yauk, which is a classic class 3-4 run, And there'll be like 100 people there.
Wow.
As opposed to like here, like
there's no.
Yeah, like the best thing on the river, you know, like maybe the Puntlish is running, which is like one of our best play runs, and there's like, you know, 20 people. Which
but
is
you
awesome.
Know all of them.
Yeah, you know all of them. It's like, yeah, so it's a very tight community here. Whereas there's lots of boaters, and both things kind of have their pluses and minuses, I guess. But Solder Rocks out there, it's like, it's all like Appalachian rocks.
Right.
And, yeah, no, it's a cool zone. I want to go back and paddle more with Heather. She hasn't paddled much there. There's some harder stuff that I wasn't running back when I was learning that I'd love to go do as well. Yeah, I just got to find the time to get home.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys travel quite a bit, is that right? Or at least when you can. Because you're...
Yeah.
I'm just looking at your wall here. They've got a large assortment of paddling pictures here. Including Ecuador, I'm seeing, and Iceland. Is that the most recent trip?
Yeah, we got, there's the Nile and there's Iceland on there. Yeah, we, as teachers, we work all year from September till the very end of June.
Mm-hmm.
And our best paddling season on the island is right in the winter. So
yeah.
In the summer when things dry up, we really like to chase the water, whether that's raft guiding and in the interior and paddling. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to fly internationally with our kayaks a couple times.
Yeah.
Last summer, as Garrett mentioned, we got married, and for our honeymoon, we flew our boats over to Iceland.
Nice.
And spent a month over there paddling around and going off some waterfalls.
What were the biggest waterfalls?
Probably the highlight for both of us, I think, was paddling Godafoss. There's two pictures there.
Yeah.
There's many different lines on this waterfall. It's in the north of Iceland. It's a big horseshoe-shaped waterfall. It's really spectacular. Kind of unique because there's like hundreds of tourists standing around watching too.
Really?
Yeah.
They go to watch kayakers?
Just
or they
just see the waterfall.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a bit of a history. It's known as the Waterfall of the Gods. And when Christianity was being... introduced or kind of taking over Iceland, someone came and threw all of the old pagan idols into these waterfalls.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that was pretty spectacular.
That's sweet. How many rivers did you guys paddle while you were up there?
Not like, I don't know, probably like...
Like a dozen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we did
not
well.
Do it. No, yeah, that's not bad at all.
It wasn't like always a full-on kayaking adventure. We did lots of kind of sightseeing and touristy stuff and lots of good day hikes and hot springs. And,
oh, nice.
And we were lucky enough, like crazy, that there was a volcanic eruption while we were there. So we got to go check out one of the most... tourist-friendly volcanoes you could possibly go to.
Wow.
And that was really spectacular.
Yeah.
And it was erupting?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fissure eruption, so really lots of lava, slow-moving. You can get nice and close to it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like us and a couple hundred of our best friends
out there.
It was pretty cool. It's like a rock concert.
Literal rock concert.
Yeah, it was a cool trip though. There's not much of a kayaking scene. Well, there's a kayaking scene, but there's not many kayakers in Iceland,
right.
So finding people to meet up with is kind of tricky to go boating, but we did good.
Yeah,
sweet.
We connected with the two rafting, or kind of two rafting zones in Iceland, one down south with Arctic rafting.
Yep.
And then the one up north we connected with was Viking rafting, and that's kind of the best spot to look for other kayakers is go to the rafting companies and find someone to paddle with or paddle with a rafting trip. And
cool.
Yeah, if any kids out there want a good summer rafting job,
oh man,
look up those companies. They're pretty sick.
Go to Iceland?
Yeah. Like, I know Viking even pays their guides a salary, which is pretty unique in the industry. They must have, you know, one of the better arrangements, I think, and they get like set days off per week.
Right. Yeah. That's a good segue into lifestyle choices. Song break. So Garrett, what's yours?
Dearly Departed by Shaky Graves.
Oh, nice.
I'm like walking away. Yeah, Dearly Departed by Shaky Graves. That was a song when Heather and I met, we were both listening to a lot of Shaky Graves. We ended up seeing him in concert, which was great too, in Calgary.
Yeah, in Calgary.
Nice.
I was recovering from a concussion at the time.
Oh.
Had sunglasses on and earplugs in, but
God.
It was still a great show.
Oh my God.
That was a great show.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories.
Teaching as a profession versus
add a few shakes of music and soundscape
really
and wrap it all up in a big question.
I worked up at
how can we see this more than human world in a new light and take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene?
Whenever I had days off,
catch future ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
I was really, really
keen and fired up to get into ski guiding, and I was involved in a fairly big avalanche rescue where there was, you know, many people involved, buried, mm-hmm. and fortunately, nobody was killed in this event due to a lot of pieces falling together and a mm-hmm. lot of really, you know, good guides coming to the rescue and making that work. But it was definitely not guaranteed, and there's a lot of kind of, you know, are these guys going to make it kind of questions, and dealing with that emotionally was really hard. You know, it's hard to know that these jobs that bring us so much joy can also cause so much pain, right? Mm-hmm. I guess some of the risk that we accept is, you know, people who love to do these sports, but when you're, you know, getting paid to take people down the river, it kind mm-hmm. of changes the value of that.
Yeah.
I ended up, yeah, traveling and spending all my money and coming back and flat broke. So I got a student loan, went back to school, became a teacher, and kind of still not committed to the profession. I was kind of juggling, do I want to be a teacher? Do I want to be a guide? I worked a season ski guiding as a tail guide for Big Red Cats, a cat ski company in Rossland. And then I started working raft guiding at the same time. And I loved the work most of the time. But towards the end of the seasons for raft guiding, your body starts getting worn out. You start getting tired. Ski guiding too. I think one of the biggest things for me that kind of switched from wanting to work in the guiding world to wanting to work in the education world was the amount of risk and the lack of kind of security. Like if you wanted to, you know, have a family someday or something, like to be able to have a home and salary and benefits is pretty nice.
Yeah, teaching's sweet. Like, yeah, I think, yeah, to have a job with a salary is a pretty powerful thing. Like, we were like, really lucky to buy a house here, and that's kind of what made it possible, right? Like, but yeah, guiding's great. Sometimes I miss it, but it's tough on the body. You know, you don't see many guides who are, you know, in their 50s.
And, no.
Yeah, and, you know that from your stepdad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, our boss, when we were working at Hydro River Guides, was a guy named Dave Osborne, and he's a ski guide and a career raft guide, like both. And he was in his early 50s, or maybe just turning 50. You know, but he's a crazy good athlete. Mm-hmm. Like some of the stuff that guy did, you know, when he was younger, and just the athleticism, right? And like, I don't know, most pro athletes retire in their early 30s, right? Like I kind of thought of it like that kind of thing, right? Yeah. It's like you're kind of a pro athlete,
yeah,
and you know, you do kind of have a lifespan. So at least teaching, like, you know, like it's a lot easier to kind of keep up with grade nines. So I guess like, physically, not emotionally. Yeah. Emotionally is the hard part, but physically it's a lot easier to do that than I think to get you know, kind of do the days in, days out of a rafting, or you know, like Heather with her skiing seasons. Mm-hmm. Like it's a long haul and real long physical days, which is great. You get real jacked and you know, work outside and like you get real tan, like Jade, super super tan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of nice to have that fallback. And I love teaching science too. Like, you know, I feel like we both also teach our science 11.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I love that because it still keeps me kind of in the geology world.
Totally.
It's also a huge passion of mine. And I'm kind of sad not to be working as a geologist anymore, right? But at least I get to kind of like teach about rocks and tectonics. And
so I
really enjoy that part of teaching as well.
Yeah, I think I talked about like why I got into teaching, but I think the reasons I'm stayed in teaching are it's rewarding. Seeing the impact you can make on kids and introducing them to these sports and, you know, seeing where they go with them. And, you know, a big passion of mine too is environmental science and being able to feel like I'm making some sort of a difference and is pretty cool.
Amazing. Song break. Wolf by
First Aid Kit.
Heather loves wolves. Yeah. There's wolves all over the walls.
There are wolves.
Too. There's wolves everywhere in the house here.
Yeah.
Tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Once again, welcome back to ODP on CITR 101.9 FM. Yeah, so you guys educate students, but I venture to say that you also educate everyone around you. These guys recently published Vancouver Island Whitewater guidebook to all the rivers on the island here that are paddleable.
And some that aren't.
Some that aren't. Yeah. First of all, congrats on that.
Thank you.
Big accomplishment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you guys have any thoughts on what it was like to publish a book and what like to procure all that information and all the photos and put them all together and all the photo credits on every little photo?
Yeah.
Holy.
It took us like four years, right? And it started as a writing project. It was actually once we kind of realized that, you know, Shane had too much other stuff going on, right? Like building his cabin in Sonora and stuff that, you know, because he was the guy that, you know, could have or should have maybe written it, but he was just too passionate about too many other things.
Yeah, so I had been bugging Shane and Dave too for years, like, hey, like, you guys need to write a guidebook. There's none for the, like, there was one, but it was, you know, Betty Pratt Johnson's book, you know, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was like, Shane, you got to write a guidebook. And he's, you know, had so much beta, all this information. And after a couple of years, I was like, all right, Garrett, it's time. We got to do it. No one else is stepping up.
Yeah.
So yeah, Garrett likes to joke. It's like an extra master's project taking 4 years.
It was like our 4-year master's project, right? But, and then, yeah, it's cool too because we do a lot of like whitewater photography. So.
Yeah.
And then our friends do.
Yeah.
So we got lots of really good pictures.
The pictures in there are great.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And then Heather ended up buying a program called Infinity Publisher to do all of the layout ourselves. So that
saved us
a whole bunch of, you know, money. But it also, made a huge project for Heather.
Especially when we weren't sure of the size and had to change the font like 10 times. That was a pain.
If anyone's thinking about writing a guidebook, it's a super rewarding process, and it's really cool when it's finished, and it's a great thing to be able to contribute to whatever community you're in, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're listening to this, give us a shout, because we learned some things. But it's great, and you know, like, we found a good printer and publisher out of Victoria.
Cool. Local publisher.
Yeah, local publisher. Sweet. Like, you know, great to work with. What are they called? First Choice Books. Yeah, out of Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria Bindery, First Choice Books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we've just been printing them ourselves, and, you know, mostly Heather, again, has been selling them. Cool. You know,
we're selling them at the lodge.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, they're making their way around, you know.
They're on the shelves. I saw them on the shelves. Like, whoa.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
it's super cool.
Totally.
Yeah, we've got a few with Aquabatics and Pink Mountain Imports.
Cool.
Send some up to Whitehorse, send some out to Halifax.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, did you send some to the U.S. yet? Or
yep, sent some down to Oregon.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's cool. It's a really neat thing to have out there. And, you know, kind of make us known, I guess, a little bit more to the broader community.
Yeah.
Because we got some cool stuff here to paddle.
Yeah.
It's just tough to plan trips here. It's kind of, because you need the rains. And
It's hard to plan the rains.
It's hard to plan the rains, yeah, especially these days. But yeah, it's a great thing to have done.
It was a really fun project.
Yeah.
It took a lot of work, and we got a lot of help from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, we couldn't have done it without the beta from others.
Yeah.
You know, photography from so many people.
Yeah.
You know, we wrote it, but it's really a project from the community.
Yeah.
And giving back to the community.
Well, if that's indicative of the community here, then I think we got a good one.
Yeah.
It's pretty, I really like, it's super usable. Like, the index is sweet. Everything is where you expect it to be. It's like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah,
we had some real guidebook aficionados put in their 2 cents.
It was, it's sweet. Like, it has the information that you need, and then description is always on point.
So far, so
use it
yeah.
So far, so good. Not too many mistakes, but it's a guidebook. There are some mistakes in it.
Yeah, I joke with people sometimes, and I give them one. I'm like, 150 pages of sketchy beta. I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the rivers always change though, and out here too, like with wood is like the big one as well, right? It's that's really important beta. That's really like changes so much, you know. So.
No doubt.
Obviously use with extreme caution.
Yeah, check the Facebook pages.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it gets you to the rivers.
Yeah. Incredible. And that's the important part?
Yeah, the important part.
Do you guys have any clothing? Oh my goodness.
Clothing. Yeah, I got lots of clothes.
You guys got any closing thoughts on what it's like to work in the outdoors and any words of wisdom for any up-and-comers?
Ooh. It's really rewarding work. I love working in the outdoors. If you like an outdoor lifestyle, some things it can be hard to have your passion also be your job, but mm-hmm. most days I really like it.
Yeah.
And then, sometimes we get to meet really cool people through our work, like Jade, and eventually become friends with them and go boating with them, which is really awesome. I guess for anyone looking to get into outdoor education in schools, I think one of the biggest, most important things is to have administration that's supportive of that mm-hmm. kind of work, which isn't always the case in different districts. So, yeah, if anyone's interested in getting into it, definitely feel free to reach out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're looking to get into that world too, maybe you've got some experience doing trips on your own, or maybe a little bit of guiding or summer camps, or take a wilderness first aid course. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, in a big way, your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty much all I needed to get the job I'm in now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Wilderness first aid.
Yeah, and they're great courses, and they're super fun. And,
teaching outdoor education, we do, getting different certs.
Yeah.
Making sure you're certified and your butt's covered for
I'm
everything
just
you do.
Coming up on, the necessary recertification of a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's a bit daunting.
Yeah, it's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
It's a big part of the job.
Yeah, no doubt.
Course lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you want to do it right, make sure you're operating to industry standards and know what those are. And yeah.
Yeah, do lots of stretching. Take care of your body, I think, is the other big wisdom I would have.
Garrett was stretching this morning at past 7. Yeah.
Gotta stretch. I got old man hips now. Yeah.
From the boat.
Yeah. I was at the physio. He was like, okay, bring your knee to your chest. I was like lying on my back, and he was like, is that it? I was like, oh, that's not good.
I'm touching it.
Yeah. I can hold on to it.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Yeah. This is such a cool project you're doing.
Yeah,
all the best. And
thank you.
Yeah, always looking forward to see what your next adventure is.
Cool. And then
thank you. tonight. Is everyone else sleeping? And you cannot close your eyes.
Do you wish you could make everything right? Turn back the clock and take away the thing that changed your life. Sometimes it's so hard. Sometimes it's so hard. Sometimes it's so hard to try.
Ce qui va dévalisera la chance. Des poignées de trèfle nous porteront des étés au berceau de nos enfants, parfumés de fleurs immenses. Nous en ferons des géants.
In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flag.